Man, it is well with my soul. That's for sure. Goodness me. Thank you guys so much for the worship this morning. And we had some new people. Jason, thank you so much for sharing with us on bass. And Shelby, thanks for reading a scripture this morning. I'm really glad that you're all here. If you're new with us here today, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Jeff Hawkins, and I'm the outreach minister here at the church. And if I haven't got a chance, I try to make real intention to greet you and stuff. But if I haven't had a chance yet this morning, I hope that after the service, I'll get a chance to say hello to you, because I'm truly happy that you're here. I'm excited about sharing this message with you this morning. We've been talking about this topic, this before hitting sin. We've been talking about this whole sermon series amongst the staff for a couple of months now, and I was excited when I saw this theme and the scripture come up in our plans that I got to be the one to share this message with you here this morning. If you've been with us the past few weeks, you know that Gus started this new sermon series called Before Hitting Sin, and the tagline is honoring Christ with our in what we say and with our words. And you know, that's not always an easy thing to do. A lot of times the things that we, especially today in our world today, a lot of the things that we say aren't things that we specifically say, but they're things that we share and they're things that we post on our social medias. I get to teach in the high schools and middle schools in Lincoln County and some of the other counties for Heartbeats. I work with Heartbeats, and I tell the high school, middle school students that I'm a social media freako. Like I really love the social media world. I love the world of, and this is a boomer thing I'm getting ready to say, I love the world of Facebook, and I love Twitter, and I don't have a TikTok, but I love Snapchat. I love the social media world that we live in today. And you can ask Heather and the kids this, but I might have a problem. I'm just saying. I don't know if this is a support group here, but I'm Jeff Hawkins, and I might have a Facebook problem. And so anyway, they can tell you for sure. I probably do. But you know, even though I love all of this, I love the social media stuff, I feel like there's a powerful inherent, Jason, what do we see this week? Inherent evil, or there's an inherent fault in what we do. You know, when we're online, and I keep thinking right now, I keep thinking about an old song who's the guy from Belmont that just built the shop there and stuff? And he's a Brad Paisley. All right, there was a song that Brad Paisley did way back in the day about being online, and George Costanza was in the video and all that. But I think about that because there's this, you know, I don't know. We have this like extra, and I don't even say courage, but we have this audacity. You know, we have this like brashness when we're online that we probably wouldn't if we're speaking to somebody face to face. You know what I'm saying? We have this courage. And so I feel like there's this inherent fault in all of that. And with the way that we interact on social medias and when we interact online, we could actually, it could be very hurtful. And instead of, like we're hoping to do, instead of honoring Christ with our words, we could absolutely dishonor Christ with our words. And that's why we felt, as a staff, that's why we felt it was so important that we deal with this issue, and we talk about this month, is because there's a lot of power in all that. Gus spent the first Sunday talking about thinking before we hit sin. And he was talking about, he was sharing from Paul's book, Paul's letter to the Philippians, and he said, think about these things. Think about the things that are true and noble. Think about the things that are honorable and excellent and praiseworthy, whatever is lovely and commendable. He said, those are the things. Those are the things that we need to be thinking about. That's the filter that we ought to run the things that we say and the things that we post. That's the filter that we ought to run those through before we hit send. I found this great ad, and this was one of the top Super Bowl ads in Super Bowl 45, which would end 2011, all right? And I think that this ad will help us to see a little better just what kind of danger we're talking about here today.
Oh no. Rod, you sent this email, reply all. You hit reply all. No! You know, I was wrong. You just sent this email to me. Could you imagine?
Could you imagine? Anybody know what that ad was for? Anybody know? Bridgestone tires. Bridgestone tires will help you to get rid of the problem that you got. But I think there's a bigger, I think there's a better eraser for that than Bridgestone tires. But anyway, I just thought, you know, if we're not careful, when we're behind our computer screens or when we're behind our telephone keyboards, we can make a real mess of things. Bigger messes than what Bridgestone tires can help figure out. Well, the first question that Gus shared with us last week was this: was the filter is it true? Right? Is it true? And here's the thing that I think about that question is that it actually has a set boundary. You know, is it true? Is an important question, but the truth is the truth, right? The truth is, it's not a relative thing. The truth is true or it's not true. And Gus said it's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's what we talked about last week. And, you know, in our world today with all the political mess and all this stuff, there are fact checkers. You know, there are people that every time that somebody important says something, they're checking the facts to see if what they're saying is true or whether it's, you know, we use the term now a lot, fake news, right? So there are fact checkers, but that's a question that's not a relative question. It's true or it's not true, right? But I think the questions that we're asking, the question I want to pose today, and the question that Gus is going to pose next Sunday in the next sermon in this series, are, I feel like they're kind of relative. You know how we always said beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And then when we say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I think it could be argued that kindness is in the eye of the beholder. You know, because kindness between you and I might mean two totally, and I said I wasn't going to say anything about Heather in the sermon, so I just pointed at her, and I didn't mean to make eye contact. Kindness between you and I could be different things. You know, you might say something that you feel is kind, and I might say, boy, that was pretty harsh. You know, that was kind of savage of you, you know, almost. But here's what I think about kindness, is that kindness, our goal and our standard for kindness, it ought to be set in the heart and the mind of Christ. As I was preparing for this message, I found an article that I thought was very interesting. I want to share it with you guys here this morning. But this article was about, but this man, his name is Jim O'Connor. About 2 years ago, CBS News did a human interest story on this guy, Jim O'Connor. And Jim O'Connor is a 70-year-old. He's never been married. He never had any children. He's a Vietnam veteran. But he also happens to be a math teacher at a local Catholic school in the L.A., California area. And Jim O'Connor is, and you can just see it, Jim has a standard. And you can just see it in the way that he's got this, like, rough appearance. It's very military, and that's the way he teaches his classes. And so even though Jim is a very good math teacher, And he's very well respected, people don't like him very much, right? But that's okay with him. That's the way he wants it to be. You know, he said math is a very rugged discipline. You know, he said if you think calculus is for wusses, this guy is going to change your mind about that. All right. So he's a very hard, well respected teacher, but the students don't like him. They respect him. but they don't like him. And but all of this changed one day. The seniors at this Catholic school where Jim O'Connor teaches, they're going to do this senior project. They wanted to run a blood drive for all of the students at that high school. So in order to kind of find out where they need to go next step, they went to the local LA Children's Hospital, and they met with the administration there at LA Children's Hospital to talk about this blood drive thing. Well, after a little while, after the administrator had met with the students and all this stuff, she found out what school they were from, and she said, "Oh, well, goodness, you must know Jim O'Connor. Isn't he wonderful?" And they were stunned, right? Because they were like, that didn't go the way that I expected it to go, right? You know, like, that was not the thing that I thought you were going to say about Mr. O'Connor. But she said, "If you don't believe me, let me show you." And she took all the students down the hallway to a plaque that had been put on the wall, and it was the number, it was the top all-time blood givers to LA Children's Hospital. And right there at the top of the list, they saw this name. It was Jim O'Connor. From 1989 until current, he had given like 72, he had donated 72 gallons of his own blood, which was a very important blood type. He donated 72 gallons, and he saved thousands of lives because of the blood donations that he had given. And she said, "Well, not only that, I got to show you something else." She said, and she took them to the baby ward, and this man, so he's a part-time substitute teacher at the high school. 3 days a week, every week, he goes to LA Children's Hospital, and he cares for and he rocks sick and dying babies. And they couldn't believe it. Mr. O'Connor. They couldn't believe that this was the same man that she was talking about. And all in one afternoon, he'd gone from being this gruff, grumpy, old curmudgeon of a man to their heroes. One of the and actually Jim O'Connor would say this in the article that I had read. He said, "Babies, there's no baby that should feel unloved. Every baby should feel like they're loved and should not be alone." And he said, it should not happen that way. And so he devoted all of his time. He devoted his blood to save these children and to make this huge difference at this hospital. One of his students said, he actually, I kind of feel like he's my hero. I always respected him. But now I respect him on a different level. I want to imitate him. I want to be just like him. And see, that's what I'm talking about, is kindness. Kindness has the power to change things. Kindness is one of those things that sometimes we see in the corner of life. You know, sometimes we don't recognize it at first. But once we see it, It changes everything. I got to just be real honest here too, and I was looking forward to preaching this message because I thought, well, this is easy. I got this kindness thing, right? And but trust me when I say this, that I absolutely struggle with this too. This has been several years ago now, and when Heather and I lived on 30th Street, and I got to say there was probably just the four of us at the time. Before Hope was born, and I know it's hard to remember life without Hope in our lives, but it was before Hope was born, and Hannah was wee little, and Hannah and I were sitting at the back of our house. I had built this little step that went right outside our back door, and Hannah and I would sit out there sometimes. And there was one day we were sitting out there together, and we saw this little bunny that came hopping out from underneath our shed. And we kind of had thought that there were some critters under there before, but we'd never seen them before until this day. And Hannah and I got very excited. to see it. And I think the bunny actually recognized our excitement because as soon as it saw us, it got scared and it scurried back underneath the shed where it had been before. And so so I got up off the step and I went over to the side of our house. I went over to where our hose is, and I unwrapped the hose off of our hose reel, and I dragged it all the way back to the back of the yard where the shed was, and I fed about, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet of the hose underneath the shed, and then I came back over to the house. I went over, turned on the spigot. I came back, and I sat down next to Hannah, and she... you could just tell she was thinking about something. She said, "Daddy, are you trying to give the bunnies a drink?" No, baby. And are you trying to give the bunnies a bath? No, baby. You know, and are you just being mean to them? Sat there in silence for a couple of seconds. Got back up, went over to the house, turned off the spigot, went and grabbed the hose, dragged it all the way back to the house. Doggone if she didn't ruin my fun, right? Yep. And because, see, kindness is hard sometimes. And if I didn't have the filter that day of my sweet little daughter shaming me for what I was doing, those little bunnies would have had to find some new place to live. Because kindness is hard sometimes, especially in the world that we live in today. Especially when we're alone at home and on our computer, or we're alone with our phone screens and our keyboards. If we don't have that filter, if we don't have somebody to keep us from just being mean, kindness is hard. And as Christians, we really need to like set the standard on this thing. We need to absolutely... show the world what kindness really looks like. Because, see, we have an example to follow. And we have, we ought to be using the filter that we've been given. We have a filter through Scripture. And we've been given a filter through the Holy Spirit. Before we talk about our Scripture that Shelby read for us this morning, I want to draw your attention to another Scripture. It's in another one of Paul's letters. It's in his letter to the church in Galatia. And we find it in Galatians chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 22. I'm just going to talk about verses 22 and 23. But before we look at that, though, Paul, let me just give you a little background here. Paul is using this passage in Galatians 9, 22, 23 as a contrast. He wants to show us a contrast between what the fruit of the world looks like and what the fruit of the Spirit looks like, all right? And he says the fruit of the world is evident. It's things like sexual immorality. It's things like impurity and sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy and anger, rivalries, dissensions and divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. You see, that's the world side of this story. That's the world side of the story. And some of those things in that list that I just read to you, they hit a lot closer to home than some of the other ones. You might say, oh, I got no problem with that. But then we talk about division and dissension. Oh, that one hurts us a little bit, right? Some of these are a lot closer to home. But that's the way the world lives. And that's the way the world speaks. And that's the way the world posts. But we shouldn't live like that. The Holy Spirit that lives in us, it shows itself in a much different way than the spirit of the world does. As believers, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of our spirit as Christians, are love and joy and peace and patience. And anyone else want to guess what's next? Kindness. And goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Those are the fruits that our lives ought to be showing. And so as Christians, kindness should not be a struggle for us. Kindness is a physical expression of love that Jesus first showed to us and that the Holy Spirit has poured into us. But actually, it's also a command that for us to be obedient to follow. Kindness may not be a natural thing, even as Christians. Because we have this conflict. Kindness isn't natural. Kindness is this physical, tangible, supernatural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And we ought to be setting the best example of this. I wrote this message before I had an interaction with a guy at the end of this week, and it kind of set me on my side just a little bit here, because this man that I met at the end of the week, he was not a believer, but he was one of the most kind men that I've, and he made it clear that he wasn't a believer. But he was one of the most kind men that I've ever met. And here I just wrote these words that kindness is this supernatural, you know, expression of love through the Holy Spirit. And this guy didn't have the Holy Spirit, and he was one of the most kind people. And so here's what I'm saying about this is that if we know kind people, and yet we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in us, there ought to be something that shows itself to be supernatural about, we ought to out-kind anybody else that we know in the world. It's a physical, tangible expression of the Holy Spirit. The question that we ask in ourselves here today, and through the passage that Shelby read for us, and let me read that again, just a portion of it if I could. No corrupting talk should come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that I may give grace to those who hear. So that's the question that we're asking here today. That's the filter that we're now adding to our lives and to our relationships with our words. Is it kind? And if the Holy Spirit is alive and well in us and the fruits of kindness are showing, that should be a non-issue for us. By the example of Jesus' love, by the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in us, kindness ought to just overflow out of us in the words that we use with others. Well, there's a very important phrase in our passage this morning that I want to specifically draw your attention to. It's one of those things that, and every time I read this passage, I can't help but see it. It's one of those things, like it's like a picture that you've looked at 100 times, you know, and you never notice a small detail, but once you notice a small detail, you can't help but look at that picture again without seeing that small detail again. I want to specifically point out something in our passage today, and it's in verse 29. Paul says, "Don't let any corrupting." I memorize this passage in the NIV, so forgive me if I say something that sounds like the New International Version. "Don't let any corrupting talk come out of your mouths." Check. I got that, right? "But only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, and then it may give grace to those who hear." See, here's where I really think we miss the target sometimes. And I know that I'm guilty of this. First of all, I know that I'm going to step on some toes here this morning. Because there are some of us, there are Christians, there are some of us in this room that are guilty of not using this filter. Is it kind? We don't use it in the language that we use. We don't use it in the things that we post. We don't use it in the things that we repost. And listen, just because the words that you share didn't originate with you, we're still going to be held accountable for the words that we share and the words that we pass along. We're still going to be convicted of that. And if for whatever reason the Holy Spirit isn't convicting you of the words that we're using or the words that we're sharing or the words that we're posting, then by all right, we all, as Christian brothers and sisters, we absolutely have the right to convict each other of those words. Do you agree? Absolutely. Unkind words, unwholesome, corrupt talk, words that don't build others up or edify should not be coming from our mouths or our computers or our cell phone keyboards. My mom always said, it's probably a lot like your mom said this too, but if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all, right? And I should have taken that advice from her more often than I did, because I know if there's anybody in here this morning that needs to hear this message, it's me, because I've done this too. I know that I've sent messages to people that the messages were not intended for. Or I'm like this guy in the Super Bowl ad that I hit reply and I shared a message with somebody or I sent something to somebody that it was not at all intended for. And see, that's the issue. That's the issue. This is the small detail in the picture that I was talking about, is many times our words, whether they're spoken or whether they're sent, have a much greater impact than just the person that we're speaking to or that we're communicating with. Thinking about my mom too, I had an odd thing this week that came up. I was in my shower this week, and I was washing my face, and some of the face soap got down in my mouth. You know how it is if you smell a certain smell or you taste a certain taste, and it brings you back to your childhood. I'm kind of ashamed to say this. I shouldn't probably be sharing this, but as I was washing my face one day this week, I tasted that soap, and I thought, boy, I've had that soap in my mouth before. Yeah, because see, my mom, and she had an interesting way that she would discipline us if we said bad words in the house. This was choice number one, is she would get the pump soap, and she'd pump a couple pumps into your mouth, and then you had to drink some water and swish it till it was nice and lathered. Yeah, and but if she didn't have that, then she would literally hand you a bar of soap, and you had to take a bite out of the bar. And then you got some water, and you got to swish it around. And see, and I'm saying this to you because I'm as much needing to hear this message today as anybody else in this room. I've sent the messages to somebody that I wasn't supposed to. I've said things to somebody that it wasn't intended for. Even if it went to the person that it was directed to, there are people, and especially this is especially true in the world of social media, there are people that are seeing these things. There's like this peripheral collateral impact that our words have, good or bad, that we need to be aware of. You know, Gus has been talking about this digital footprint that we leave, and this is so true, whether this is fair or not. People will make a judgment call about you because of the words that you use, whether they originate with you or not. And people are going to make a judgment call about you because of the people that you have, the people that you follow, even the posts that you like. People are going to make a judgment call about you. And I think as Christians, we ought to live our lives way above reproach on this thing. Because you see, there's an impact that you and I can make in our world that's way beyond any impact that we ever imagined we could have. You see, if you're not asking yourself, is this thing that I'm getting ready to post, is this thing that I'm getting ready to say, or is this thing that I'm getting ready to send, is it kind? If you're not asking yourself, if you're not running through that filter, shame on you. Because you see, here's the real deal. It's not just a judgment call that people are going to make on you. It's not just going to be a judgment call they're going to make on yourself. It's a judgment call that people will make on your family. And it's a judgment call that people are going to make on your church. And it's a judgment call that people are going to make about Jesus because of the words that you use. There's this incredible power in that. And just to be quite honest, there's a power that quite frankly, we don't deserve to have. But you see, if we're doing this thing right, if we're using this filter, and if we're submitting ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, the total opposite can also be true too. This is the Jim O'Connor story that we talked about earlier. Jim O'Connor was perfectly content with living a quiet, peaceful, private, simple life. You know, his only goal was to show kindness and to show love to those little babies and their families. But you see, it's because of his desire, it's because of the love that he had in his heart and the kindness that literally poured out of him. He impacted a hospital administration that was so grateful to share this story with some way, way unsuspecting teenagers. And because of the news report, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people would hear this same story and would be blessed by this, would be impacted. A whole nother generation was impacted that was going to impact another whole generation because of Jim O'Connor. A seemingly grumpy, old, private man that had been trying to keep that a secret, apparently, for all of these years. You and I are Jim O'Connor. And bigger than that, you and I may be the only face of Jesus that some people may ever see. If we're living and if we're speaking and we're posting in love, and if we're living and speaking and posting in kindness, there's no telling how much of a blessing, how big of a ripple, how big of an impact that we can be on the world around us. People are watching. People are waiting. People are listening to what we're going to do and to say. And you can have an impact. You can impact people that you never intended on impacting. You can cause this ripple effect of love and blessing that you would have never imagined. And you see, it won't be just this community that's affected. It won't be just your friend groups. It'll be friend groups of friend groups. It'll be generations of generations that could be impacted by the love and the kindness that you show. But think about this. You and I are just one person. What would happen if a whole church would take a hold of this and want to start living, sharing, speaking in love and kindness? Think about the impact that we all together could have on our community and on our world today, even. So what are you going to do today? What are you going to do this week to change the way that people think about and what they believe about Jesus? That's incredible power that each of us have. Let me pray with you. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for, I thank you for people like Jim O'Connor that never wanted to be noticed. They just wanted to love. I thank you for that humility, Lord, but I also thank you. We especially thank you for a similar humility that we saw in your son Jesus. Lord, help us to imitate that. I know sometimes we feel like it's hard to live up to the standards that you expect from us. But Lord, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to realize the power that we have for the good or for the bad to impact the world around us. And we're simple, unimportant people. Lord, help us to realize how alive and well that your Holy Spirit is in the world today, and how real and alive your Holy Spirit can be in our lives today. Give us fruits like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and kindness. Lord, help us to follow your example. Lord, help us to be your people. Help us to shine our light so bright in this crazy dark world that people can't help us see. We love you.